Take my lips and speak through them. Take our thoughts and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for you. Unless you speak, nothing of significance will be spoken. Bring us your word, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I don't know where you're coming from this past week, but you know the crud that I can't ever remember seeing as many people get the crud as this year. I finally got tired of saying, I feel better than I sound. I feel better than I sound. Because eventually I was lying. And on Thursday at 10:30 in the morning, Sue Major, the secretary, who really I work for her, she's like, get out of here and go home. And so I did. I slept for 5 hours straight. And did you ever want a day in bed? But when you need a day in bed, it's not really very enjoyable. Because you're feeling so cruddy that there's nothing you can do to enjoy it. Except just try to get the sleep that you need to try to get better. And how much that impacts, like, the whole rest of the family. If you're somebody that's been sick or is fighting something or has some chronic something that's not supposed to be the way it is and you can't even enjoy it, you know, and people think, oh, they're just at home doing nothing. And then how it impacts the rest of the family. Here I have all of my family's coming for the weekend. Oh, my gosh. And how much that throws Lee and not really Mom and Dad. how much when something goes wrong in your house, it impacts everybody because you're all sitting there trying to hold on to each other, going through life, and somebody drops, and it affects the entire way that you're getting from point A to point B. And that's our lives. And I don't know what it is for you, but chances are this week, you're like, I just barely got here. You may be here saying, I don't even know why I'm here. But I believe God has an appointment for you. And there's a message for you today. We're reading through the New Testament. If you have not read the Bible, pick it up with us this week, starting tomorrow. We're in the book of 2 Timothy, my new favorite book in the Bible. It was literally, and I don't say that every time we read a new book, believe me. But it's the most intimate letter that Paul has written. And it is his final letter out of all the letters that we have, that we still have, where he's writing to Timothy from the jail in Rome. The last letter, he knows he's going to be executed soon. What would you say? That's what Paul is writing with. Imagine the slats overhead as he's gone from house arrest to in prison, and the dimness and the dankness, and how he must be feeling writing this letter. And Paul, who's lived this life, someone who's given his life to the cause of Christ, wishes to pass on that commitment to Timothy, a young man. Paul was the mentor. Timothy was his sidekick, his helper, to carry the message further than Paul ever could. Paul, who had traveled and worked so hard in establishing all these churches, was facing death. And now it's up to Timothy and others to guard the gospel and to carry it forward. Listen to how Paul writes in the final verses of this, his final letter. He says this, "Do your best to come to me quickly. For Demas, because he loved the world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you because he's helpful to me in my ministry. I sent I sent Tychicus to Ephesus." Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. When you come, bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas and my scrolls, especially the parchments. You see, he had more to say. We look at prison as some kind of dead end. Paul had more to say. And then he writes this a couple verses later. Do your best to come before winter. Have you ever literally been beat, been hit? Have you been beat up? He had. Have you ever been shipwrecked, lost at sea, in salt water, not just the Great Lakes? He had. Are you in the midst of being betrayed by someone? He was too. Have you ever been blamed for causing harm to people unjustly? He had. Have you ever had to avoid going someplace because you might run into somebody who you were not right with anymore? He had. Have you ever had to live with chronic pain? He did. Have you ever been inside a prison and then been there for yourself? He had. Today, you may feel like you're in a prison because of what's going on, because of a relationship issue, because of something happening at work, or you feel like you're heading into one because you don't know what's coming. Or on the other hand, are you being asked to step up, to take a lead where you've always been able to coast, where you've been in your comfort zone, and someone is saying, you've got to move? Have you been asked to do that? He was. Are you being put in a position bigger than you've ever known? He was. Are you concerned that you don't have enough strength to shoulder what's coming because of what's going on to the people you care about? He was concerned. Is more being asked of you than ever before? Is the generation in front of you tired? Is something coming your way beyond what you know you can do? For him, this is what it was. Paul on the one hand, Timothy on the other. I know some of you are being asked to live like everything is normal in the midst of all of this. Whether it's adult children making unwise decisions, whether it's spouses that are causing things to be really difficult, whether it's someone at work who seems to have it out for you, or whether you think it might even be God saying, it's time to step forward. It's time to become exposed. No more incognito. What do you do when it all hits and you can't hide behind normal anymore? You wake up tomorrow and here's what you do. You act faithful. I heard the president of Asbury Seminary be asked the question, what are you going to do if the churches continue to dwindle or fall apart or schism? And he said, I'm going to wake up the next day and I'm going to be faithful. Can you do it? Are you up for it? You know, anxiety and fear tries to run our lives. Depression, paralysis comes and goes. People are going to ask you about it. Maybe it's basic things going on in your life, or maybe you're being called to tackle some of the deeper problems of the world. Illiteracy, poverty, education, lack of leadership, a spiritual vacuum in the world that people following Christ are called toward. I don't know what it is for you, but here's what I do know, church. God has placed us in our current situations. It's not like you were born 50 years too late or 200 years too late. God knows you are here and you are here for such a time as this. It's not like God is in heaven with Jesus and the Holy Spirit saying, did you know that was going to happen in her life? No, I didn't know. What are we going to do? Oh, no. God is not wringing his hands. God is faithfully responding, faithfully guiding, faithfully creating, faithfully redeeming. It's no surprise to God. But here's the other thing I know. Whatever it is, as horrific as what you're going through might be, that thing in your life, that looming thing out there, that winter that's a-coming, is not going to get Jesus back in that tomb. He's out, he's alive, he's here to stay. Nothing in the world could get Jesus back in the tomb. Death has already been conquered, And the victory belongs to Christ, not to whatever it is that you are facing. You and I simply respond faithfully. That's what we're called to do. God is faithful. And you know, people tend to become like the things that they worship. You are faithful. What if everything falls apart today? You wake up tomorrow and you live faithfully. How? By following Paul's invitation, you come before winter. When Paul wrote these words, these ominous words, he was in prison in Rome, dark, cold, damp, and there by the dim light, he takes his pen and he begins to write. Paul knows his time is up. He's awaiting execution sooner or later. He had faced and lived through so much. In his last journey, he was abandoned by many people that he cared deeply about. He knew it was the end, and so he writes his young friend Timothy. Now, by the time that Paul writes this, you need to know historically, the Roman emperor at the time was Nero, paranoid, nasty Nero. And he had rounded up all the leading Christians and put them in prison. And how ironic that the Apostle Paul's trial was for atheism, for not worshiping the things of the culture, because he refused to worship Nero, and for cannibalism, because he celebrated the Lord's Supper. Think about it. This is my body. This is my blood. How strange that sounds to people who have never heard those words before. And within months of this letter, out on the Ostian Way, north and west of Rome, Paul would be beheaded. The trial that he would have gone through, a mock one at best. But Paul's excited for the trial. It's one final opportunity to explain Jesus Christ and the message of God to some who may not yet have heard. But it's not easy. And there's more to be done, and winter is coming. Paul knew how close they were, him, the mentor, and his sidekick. They'd been in tight places together. They knew they could count on each other, like they were in foxholes. Then those haunting words, come before winter. Paul doesn't have to say, I may not be here when spring comes, but he may not be here when spring comes. And so Paul asked for Timothy, and he asked for his cloak, and he asked for his books and his parchment to write some more. That's all he had. That was all he needed. And it makes me ask myself, when you're afraid or desperate or going through sick times, when you're lonely, where do you turn? Do you prop yourself up with a bunch of entertainment? Do you prop yourself up because you get bored? Where do you look to bring meaning and joy and hope into your life? That everything will ultimately be all right? For Paul, it was the scriptures. Please come before winter. And I think today, come before winter, is God's invitation to you and to me. What do we need to do today that shouldn't wait any longer? For some of you, you're here today and that was it. Come before winter. Who do we need to forgive? Come before winter. What do we need to start doing? Come before winter. What do we need to stop doing? That's the question that haunts me. Is this, did Timothy make it? Did he make it in time? Well, there's two scenes. One, I hope is true, and the other, I hope it's not. Imagine this. Timothy receives this letter, and he starts out on his journey right away, gathering his cloak and Paul's books, and setting sail to be with his friend, arriving, reading scripture, bending down through the slats when he can't be allowed in, and talking to Paul like that. Sharing with him, holding his grasp, letting him know he is not alone. Think about it. Theologically, we believe when you put your faith in Christ and God forgives you of your sin, and you start living for him, and the Holy Spirit enters you. You are literally a God carrier, not just a Christ follower. That means you are, for that person, God with skin on. Who are you being God with skin on these days? That was Timothy coming to Paul. Maybe he even walked with him to the place of execution. And maybe he watched as Paul, his old friend, died. Sad, but rejoicing as well, because he could say those words, well done, good and faithful servant.
That's the one I hope is true. The other one is Timothy procrastinates. What a great and subtle tool of Satan is procrastination. You know, stuff came up, I got busy, things got crazy. And so Timothy waits until winter to go visit Paul. But that's when the ships don't sail. And so Timothy had to wait until April. And when he finally gets to Rome, he can't find Paul anywhere, not even in any of the prisons that he visits. And so Timothy asks around and he finds a Christian home who says, Dr. Luke is in another place. Go talk to him. And so Timothy finds Luke in a home, maybe working on his gospel or his account of the book of Acts. And he asks Luke, where can I find Paul? Only to be told by Luke, he was beheaded last December. And you know, it's funny, Timothy, every time the jailer put the key in the cell, Paul thought it was you coming. His last words were, give my love to Timothy when he comes. Did you ever think that our simple habit, we kind of brush off some sins more than others, procrastination could be a matter of life and death? Earlier in his life, Paul had written to his friends in Ephesus, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise ones, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. In other words, make the most of your time. The use of your time equals your life. How you use your time, that could be a perfect equal sign to your life. What else is there? Your thoughts? But I have so much love. Yeah, but love not expressed isn't love to anybody else. The use of your time equals your life, your most valuable gift that you could give. You and I can't save it up for someday. Making the most of it means getting the full value out of it, out of your time, and hence your life. And this applies to all of us, every person, whether you're 10 years old, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90. We have 90-year-olds. This applies to all of us. Every one of us has the same 24 hours. Here's what you know. If I spend my time the way culture would have me, the way my appetites want me to, if my time is taken by the stream of culture and by what's happening around me, we'll learn this the hard way. Appetites are not going to help you. Culture's not going to help you. In the areas that matter most, you can't make up for misspent time. Let me say that again. In the areas that matter most in our lives, you can't make up for misspent time. In the areas that matter most, you can't pull an all-nighter. What works for school, not really, teachers, don't worry. What works for school, what works for exams and presentations doesn't work with relationships. It doesn't work with your financial life. It doesn't work with your faith. With spiritual maturity, those take time. Those take constant deposits of time over time. In these areas, investing small amounts of time over time is cumulative, whether it's exercise or eating right or growing in your faith. There's no benefit to one-time installments. Small amounts of time over time make a difference. Small amounts over time of time make a difference. Random spending of time adds up to nothing but randomness. So, church, the idea of time is before us. Come before winter. Where is it that God is asking you to come before winter? Where is God asking you to come before winter? I always say, oh, I'd like to help out in an orphanage someday. Not doing much about it right now. Except connected to this church, we have a whole ministry for an orphanage in Haiti that we're connected with. Where is God asking you to come before winter? I always wanted to be one of those people involved in the church. Come before winter. Maybe it's giving up some destructive habit. Come before winter. Maybe it's going on a diet. Maybe it's some relationship that isn't going right, that isn't good. Do something about it today. Maybe there's someone you should be helping. Start helping them today. Call them this afternoon. Maybe some group of people that you should be helping but aren't. Come before winter. Someone to whom you should be listening to and aren't. Maybe there's a ministry that needs your help, a relationship you've let slip, and God is saying to you, come before winter. Is there anyone in this great congregation here this morning who's been around church a long, long time, and you've never said yes to Jesus Christ? Maybe God is saying to you, this is the day to come before winter. Say yes with all your being to Jesus Christ. One of those days I will. I want to give my life to you and my truest self to you. I want to trust myself to you, God. I want to trust in your faithfulness. I can't find any anywhere else. I want to give my life to you and trust myself with you. What business do you have with God that needs to be transacted? Now is the time for Christ. Time is so precious to God. It's a gift, potentially, that he gives us. And the Holy Spirit invites people to come to Christ, but it's never tomorrow. It's always today. Matthew chapter 6, verse 34, Jesus himself, this is the Sermon on the Mount. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Can I get an amen for that? Yeah. Nowhere does it say, believe in Christ tomorrow, or repent and be saved tomorrow, or the kingdom is at hand tomorrow. Tomorrow is Little Orphan Annie's song, okay? Not God's. The sun will come out. That sounds more like Ethel Merman than Little Orphan Annie. It's the frog in my throat. Scripture always says today is the day of your salvation. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Encourage one another daily while it is still called today, lest your hearts be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's Hebrews 3. Jesus always calls today because tomorrow the disposition of your heart may change and winter might set in. Satan wants to use whatever he can to get us to wait. If you wait, he can show you 1,000 reasons why you shouldn't forgive that person. He can show you 1,000 reasons why you have nothing to repent of. And your heart is ready to receive Christ today. Don't let your heart be hardened by winter. How many of us just stay where we are, looking for our cloaks, getting busy, rather than setting out on this amazing journey God has for us? Winter is coming. Won't you come before that? Won't you start out today? Let us pray. Almighty God, I thank you for today. Lord, it's even sunny today. I thank you, God, that there are things that are already, we've been carrying them around. Some of us in our shoulders is where we carry the tension. Some of it's in our lower back. Some of it's in our attitude or how we talk to each other. God, but we are carrying around things that you are calling us to today to do something about, that you want to do something about in our lives. And so I ask, God, that you would receive us today, that we would not procrastinate, but we would know today, this is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We're just going to take a moment of silence for whatever it is God is saying, come before winter. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and yes, forever, that we pray. Amen.